Hey Sebri, Dave Kurt, broker of record with Lake City Realty. So happy to be on the mic, having a little chat with you on the weekly podcast on the Sebri Real Estate Podcast. School, guys, can you get over it? I can't believe it's gonna be Christmas break. We've got a dumping of snow in the last few days. It really feels like Sudbury's turning into winter wonderland, and Christmas is gonna be here. And not only that, the last few days I've seen people, all my friends, posting pictures of their kids in the Christmas concerts. And I know we've had our Christmas concert at Walden Public where my kids go to school, and it's awesome. It's awesome to be back in person. It's awesome to be seeing these things. It's awesome to be going to the schools, seeing how exciting and seeing the buzz around the schools. It is a reminder that Christmas concerts can be very long. And I know I appreciate our school letting us know what block our kids were in, because I think there was a bit, that was a refresher for a lot of parents that these things can be an all-day event there. What's going on locally in Sudbury, though? Locally, we had the Inner City Homes delivering all of those those coats and mitts and hats that we had gathered over the last, all of over November. I chatted with Amanda from Inner City Homes, and she did an absolute great job. Inner City does an amazing job. Amanda did a great job connecting with all these local. She contacted the local schools and had full lists. I don't think we were able to fulfill the list of coats and mitts and hats that were needed by the local students of just the Rainbow School Board. So just crazy to see the need of this in the community. Locally, we also had the new council come into speed. And one of the things that I read that they're actually looking at entertaining the idea of a zero-based budget for the 2024 budget. I know there's been a lot of talk about how to handle budgeting at the city, and a lot of people are frustrated. And basically, most of the time, I sit in a lot of finance committees. I've got an accounting designation as well. So a lot of times when you're sitting on a finance or audit committee, you say, well, what did we spend last year? And are we predicting that there's going to be an increase in spending? So maybe we have to add 10% to that. Or is there going to be a reduction in spending and let's take 5% away? Or that's how you're usually basing a budget. And with a zero-based budget, then they're going to say roads. It's not going to be based on last year's budget and adding a little bit or taking a little bit away. They're going to say, how much money do we need to spend on the roads this year? So it's going to be starting from zero and then coming up with what's that amount that's going to be reasonable for the entire year. Maybe it's higher, maybe it's lower, who knows? But that's the idea that they're trying to go towards. I think it sounds a lot better than what it actually is. And I think maybe the idea of a zero-based budget kind of excites people because they're finding waste, but it can also lead to, maybe not keeping the purse strings as tight and maybe overspending on a few things. The cost of everything is up across the board, and if we sit back and we say, how much is roads going to cost next year, we're just going to come up with that figure, and that figure is what it is. So interesting to see some changes going on at the city level. But what's going on at a national level? This was a big week. We had the OFSI. I had to look up what that acronym was, but the Office of the Superintendent of Finance Instructions. Apparently every December, one of the things they do, and it's I think December 15th or something like that, is they sit back and they review the stress test. Well, that stress test has caused some stress for realtors and mortgage brokers who are saying their clients, they need to get rid of this, as their clients can't afford houses. And if I'm getting a variable rate today, I'm stress test at 7.5%. Like that's a huge number, 7.5% mortgage, even though the mortgage is only gonna be 5.5%. But let's step back to 365 days ago, and people were getting stress tests at like 4.5%. They're like, why are we getting stress tests at these high numbers? The rates are 2.5%. They're not gonna go to these unheard of 2% increases. And clearly we fast forward, 1 year into the future, and not only did they increase 2%, they increased 4%. In 1 year, which is again completely unheard of, but because we had that stress test, even though buyers feel like they can't afford it, the banking system has done their checks and balances and said that they believe buyers can afford these amount of loan to values, and if we didn't have that stress test, and I'm sure there's prudent buyers that would have bought within their means and stuff like that, but there's also a lot of buyers that are saying, how much is the bank going to give me? Perfect. That's what I need to spend because I need to get that 3-bedroom bungalow that multiple offers in Kitchener or Kingston or wherever I'm offering on the place. And whatever the banks were willing to give people, they were willing to take and put that on paper as they was like that fear of, I need to buy now, or if I don't buy, I'll never be able to buy. So this stress test was very greatly needed. And I know a lot of realtors and mortgage brokers were hoping that they were going to get rid of it this year. I'm a fan of it being there. The big thing that happened, and I had to get this kind of broken down to me and explained from one of my podcasts, which is a little shout out to the Loomy podcast. But in that announcement, they did say that as of January 2023, which is just next month, they're planning on doing a full review on the impact of the stress test. So like, I know that like already is every year in December they review, but I think that basically what they're going to be doing is they're going to be a little bit of a deep dive to see how its impact. They're open, but by making an announcement like that, they're open to future changes of maybe getting rid of it. But ultimately, I think what's at play here is the Bank of Canada and OFSI and these different groups, they want people to struggle. They want people to feel pain, and they want to slow down the economy. Like, that's the Bank of Canada's goal, is to slow down economy. By doing that, they slow down inflation. And OFSI's kind of moving in step with that. Now, in the explanation to me from the podcast I listened to, it was tied to the idea that there's nothing wrong with 7.5%, like stress testing at 7.5% if rates are to 5.5% today. If rates were to continue to increase significantly, then maybe they would change that their tune on that. But they're saying in today's current rate environments, with the information that's in front of us, they have no issues with the current stress test. So that's a long-winded explanation for it, but it was very educational to myself with how that plays out. And again, I'm a fan of the stress test. I think it's actually helped us quite a bit. It's helped our banking systems. It's helped our economy. Like, if people are taking on more debt than they can afford, that's going to hurt their households, but that's also going to hurt the balance sheet of the big banks, which is then going to hurt our entire economy. And, you know, a recession, or if we are headed to a recession, or if it's, whether it's the chicken or the egg, like the banking system, if the banking systems are doing poorly, the rest of the economy is going to suffer. And if the rest of the economy is going to suffer, the banking systems are going to do poorly as well. So that's something to note as we get ready for 2023. Enough about what's going on in Canada. What's happening in Sudbury, specifically to our local real estate marketplace? I think we're here, guys. I think we're in the holiday mode. Last week, we had 23 sales and 23 new listings. Little interesting note that there was a big chunk of those sales were actually listings that happened in the last 7 days. So last week we're at 28 sales. This week we're at 23 sales. Last week was 13 conditional or pending deals. This week we're 12. 13 of those 23 deals actually happened in multiple offers. Again, in interesting to see that it's pretty high percentage there. 23 new listings this week. And our total listings was at 200 listings last week. We're actually down to 186. What are my 5 takeaways? So let's jump into it. Takeaway number 1, we are officially in this low season. If you're listing your house this week, you are a super motivated seller. And it's interesting that with 23 listings that got listed, 6 are currently under offer right now. Again, the conversation we're having with sellers, if you're a motivated seller, you got a job transfer, something going on out of town, there's an estate or something like that, go ahead and get the house on the market, but be aggressive on your price points to be so that the buyers are seeing value. And that's why you're seeing over 50% of those houses that sold were in multiple offers, because the buyers are saying, there's the opportunity, I'm going to jump on it. I actually really believe that we're going to see a big surge in listings in early January. And I don't think that we're going to see the number of buyers increase for that amount. So again, I don't think it's bad advice that if you're going to be listing your house, especially like I think now is a little bit too close to the holidays, but like we sold 2 houses in the last, you know, 10 days. And it's because I saw the market coming and I said, this is the opportunity. Let's get it on. There's still some activity here before we see a January spike in listings. Takeaway 2, though, this week we saw the as is property hit the market for $70,000 in Whitefish. Now, clearly it was a fixer upper, and it was one that I even went live on my stories to say, oh, I've never seen a foundation repair with these strips and stuff like that. But this house was the definition of chaos. 16 registered offers on this home and seeing almost double its list price for a sale price. But this is a good example. I was in a conversation with an agent that I really respect and trust in the Cambridge marketplace. And his comment to me was, the market can correct an underprice, but the market can't correct an overprice. And this is what he was referring to, that with 16 offers, you get to the point where the market is going to say, this house, the market's going to spot the inefficiency. It's going to say, your house is underpriced. Therefore, I'm going to bring offers with where I see value. And 16 offers later, you know, they get a sale price that actually, like, I actually thought a sale sold too much money, more than I saw value for, as I was trying to compare to what this place is worth as an after repair value. And I thought 200-ish was probably towards the top for the property that actually sold. So it's a very interesting position. Now, that's assuming that there's efficiencies in the marketplace, and we do have some efficiencies with buyers being able to bid and bring up the offer price on a property, or bring up the potential sale price. But I don't know if I fully agree with what he was saying, just from a perspective of not every property is going to get this 16 offers. So even with two or three offers, there's a lot of times properties sell for less than maybe what I would deem fair market value. And sometimes going with that strategy of listing towards market value is the better option to just rely on getting one offer, negotiate a little bit, and then end up with a price that you're comfortable with. But an interesting conversation that I have with, again, a realtor that I really trust and look up to in Southern Ontario. Takeaway three for the week: as I get ready to put a bow on 2022, I want to take a look back at some of the stats. And these are year to date, so they're up to December 15th. So we're 2 weeks shy of the entire marketplace. But the biggest surprise that I stumbled into, especially with how we started the year, it's the number of sales. And everyone, every media outlet I hear talk about this is commenting about how the market's down. The market, their sale price is down, and it's down pretty significantly in Southern Ontario. But sale price is very unique. And I guess number of offers, a number of sales is very unique as well, but by local marketplaces. But across the board, it's the number of sales, number of units, home, like the number of homes that are selling, that is just down so significantly year over year. And the more interesting part of this is, when we looked at the first quarter, Q1, we were actually on pace to match last year's number of sales. Last year actually will be the peak of our sales for, I think, a long time. We just hit just under 2,500 homes sold. So every one of those had a buyer agent and a seller agent for about 5,000 opportunities for agents to get a paycheck. So Q1, we were on the same pace line. We were headed towards where we were going. We ended the year with 1,980. So let's say we're going to top 2,000 sales, right around 2,000 sales for 2022. The lowest number of sales I've seen happen, there's a bunch of, like, when you look back into 2014s and stuff like that were like in the mid 1800s. And then the lowest number was in 2014, we had 1723. That's the fewest number of sales for the last 10 years. Money costs a lot of money right now. And chatting with some people in the banking industry, the number of mortgage originations, which is a term they use for new people that are saying, hey, I want to get pre-approved for a mortgage, these are at all-time lows. I think that next year is going to be a very tough year from a number of sales standpoint. And honestly, a 20% pullback is probably not aggressive enough. This could be a 25, 30% pullback in number of sales. But let's say it was a 20% decrease in the number of sales. That's going to put us around 1,600 sales. Again, going back to 2014 is the lowest year in the 10-year span at 1723, averaging maybe in the mid-1800s. This is going to be a slow year for sales as we move forward in 2023. Takeaway four, though. There was a lot of TikTok realtors predicting that the government was going to get rid of that stress test. With the rising rates, with how tight money is, with everything that's going on in the economy, my TikTok feed is full of realtors being like, oh, the OFSI's going to get together and that stress test is going to be gone. The buyers, they don't have to face the prospect of being approved at 7.5%, whatever they were saying. Well, just as I mentioned earlier, that Office of Superintendent of Financial Institutions met, and they confirmed that they're keeping the stress test in place. Again, this is going back to, I think that this stress test had a big impact on probably saving our economy over the last year, because if people had the ability to borrow to their maximum limit, they would have done it on average, and we would have seen this pullback play out a lot worse than it's happening currently in front of us, and probably like it's going to continue to happen in the next, I actually think it's going to be 3 to 5 years that this is going to play out within. But it's the idea that rates can rise further and how fast rates can rise. It's funny because I listened to my predictions for 2022, and if you want to look up the podcast, I shared it with on my Insta story this morning. But at the 17-minute mark, I go into him like, Bank of Canada rate is at 0.25%. And I said, there's 8 meetings coming up in 2022. And I thought that 4 of the 8 meetings were going to have a 0.25% increase at. And I said, this is a big bold prediction that we're going to have a 1% increase in rates at that overnight lending rate with where things were at, because I just said that the inflation is starting to run a little bit crazy here and we need to do something to cool it. Well, the government continued to add fuel to the fire through November, December, January, and even like in February, March is where we started to see the market turn. February, our market peaked. Like anecdotally, February peaked, March, like according to the numbers, it peaked. But we were hit with a 4% increase in overnight rent lending rate. It just seems like it's par for the course that every single time the Bank of Canada meets, it's going to be at least a 0.5% increase. And I know, and I really believe they're close to the top now. Although interesting enough, if you're looking at the world banking system, like one of the podcasts that I really listened to, like said the European Central Bank has basically just said that every meeting is going to be a 0.5% increase for the foreseeable future. And I've had a lot of conversations with different realtors, especially newer realtors that just pick up the phone asking some questions this week about what's going on in the marketplace. And they're like, well, I can't wait for rates to come down in 2023. And I said, rates to come down in 2023? Like, if that's what you're banking on, if that's what you're telling your clients, like, again, we're not in the position to give financial information, but I don't see that happening. It sounds like, even the Fed is saying these rates are going to stay high for a lot longer than you're thinking. Just like when they said that they're going to increase rates more significantly than we have seen. And we were like, oh, well, what does that look like? Like, we're not going to really do that. They called their bluff and they went ahead and did that. And I actually think that they're going to keep rates high. I don't think we see a rate cut in 2023. That might be a big bold prediction that I make on my predictions, but like, that's the kind of territory that we could be in. It'll be 2024 Q1 before we see our first pullback. Takeaway five, where does the market go from here? And it's clearly going to play out a little bit on what I just chatted about. But again, I think this is, I'm really sitting down and I've got this feeling in my stomach that the conversations I've had with especially motivated sellers in the last few weeks, the reason that we listed and sold 2 houses in the last, 2 weeks was I said, if you're motivated, if you're not just testing the waters out, let's get it done now. I think that we were at 200-ish listings. As of this week, we're at 186 and probably the slowest time in the market. And again, this number sounds low, except for when we look at last year's numbers and we were at 50. 50 total homes in all of Sudbury available for sale at this time in the market last year. And then you say, okay, it's Christmas. Like that was, and last year was COVID and it was like nothing and it was a good, like crazy market. Year before, 2021, we were at 111. We're like 1.5 times what we were, almost 1.8 times what we were in the slowest part of the market, like in 2021, 2022, or 2000, yeah, 2 years ago, we were like at just over 100. Last year was 50. I think that we're gonna only see a climb from 186. And the number of conversations I've had with other agents that are telling their clients that are saying, oh, we're just waiting till after the holidays to list the home. Mid-January, we're gonna see that number of listings spike. And the big question I have is, our buyers being like, oh, do you know what? Too busy with Christmas right now. I can't wait till after the holidays. I'm going to jump in the market, dive in face first, and I'm going to start looking for home. I don't think so. I think if you're shopping, you're shopping now. The buyers that are shopping now are going to be the same buyers that are going to be shopping after the holidays with maybe a few more. Again, what we're going to see is we're going to see a spike in listings as we get into the flip the calendar into 2023. And then maybe a small amount of new buyers come into the place. So like the marketplace will be busier and then we'll churn, but we're going to see those listings increase quite dramatically. And then as we get towards the spring, I think we see a massive increase in listings. I think there will be more buyers. That always plays out in seasonality and more buyers into the marketplace. But we're going to see a lot more product because of these sellers that were saying, I'm just going to wait till the spring when the market sorted itself out. The market's not sorting itself out by the spring. Cost of loans are still going to be expensive. Maybe there's going to be a flatlining of mortgage payments because the Bank of Canada is going to kind of halt interest rate increases. But I don't think they're going to be pulling them back and making money more cheaper, more efficient in the short term. That's for sure. It's kind of this weird part in this time in the marketplace. And I know I've made some predictions in the past, but I actually think it's the spring 2023 where we're going to actually see that we shift from the seller's market that was rampant, and we're kind of in a balanced market now. And we've always kind of been in a balanced market, especially if you look back in, you know, the 10-year history of Sudbury. We've spent the majority of that time in this balanced marketplace. What that means is there's an equal number of buyers and sellers. And I think that's going to push us into a buyer's market for the first time in a long time. Now, what kind of transactions will be happening? Like, people move all the time. And like as I said, like I still think we're going to be 1,600-ish sales that happen just in the Sudbury marketplace. And this doesn't include multifamily, just so you know. These are just residential stats. But 1,600-ish sales that happen in the marketplace in 2023. But I think it's going to be a lot more of, oh, I found a house, or I need a new house. A baby's on the way. Our two-bedroom house is too small for us. We need to list our house and go buy. So you're going to see long deals that get done with condition, 40 days on market, 60 days on market. It's going to be that kind of a marketplace. I've really been trying to train my mind back to what it was like 12 years ago and 15 years ago and 8 years ago in the marketplace. It's like, what was the marketplace like? What was conditions like? What was days on market like? What was negotiations like? This is where I'm trying to get my mindset to be in a position to, if that's the market we are in, to be able to give you guys, the buyers and sellers in the marketplace, advice by what I'm seeing based on experience of being in those marketplaces. That's my big bold predictions for the week, guys. I know this might be the last podcast I filmed before the holidays there, and I might take a little break before the new year. I would like to film my big bold predictions. Tristan's on a trip in Mexico, so I don't know if I'll be doing it with him this year, but I'll jump on the mic and kind of do a recap of my predictions from last year and my future predictions for next year. But honestly, thank you for spending the 20 minutes or whatever I've done on the mic today. Thank you for all following me. Thank you for supporting me, guys. I just wish you guys the best Christmas. I wish you the happiest of New Year. Honestly, it's one of our superpowers at Lake City is that we're local to the community. I can do local content like this. I just feel like we're a fabric of the community. It's been a fantastic year. We've got our office Christmas party tonight. I just want to say thank you, Sudbury, and look forward to connecting with you in the new year. See you later, Sudbury.